in Matthew chapter 11. My message is entitled The Offense of the Cross. The Offense of the Cross. Matthew chapter 11, and then turn to Galatians chapter 5. Matthew chapter 11, it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou that he should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto him, and I like the way he answered this, what he did, what he said, bore witness to who he was from the Old Testament Scriptures. And he said, You go show John again those things which you do hear and see, what I'm saying, what I'm doing, what's happening. And the blind receive their sight. This is what's happening. This is what you're seeing and hearing. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And then this verse seems so needless, so out of place, until you learn the gospel. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Who would be offended in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is giving sight to the blind, causing the lame to walk, lepers to be cleansed, the deaf to hear, dead to be raised, and preaching the gospel to the poor? Who would be offended? Every natural man. Because it's not only the good works, it's the things he says. Throughout his life, men were offended. And on one occasion, he said, but they took up stones to stone him. He said, for which of my good works do you stone me? They said, it's not for what you do, it's what you say, buddy. You being a man, make yourself to be God. That's what they accused him on the day of the crucifixion. Blasphemy. You being a man, make yourself to be God. Make yourself equal with God. Well, they just had it turned around backward. He was the eternal God who made himself to be a man. That's what he was. And you look through the Gospels, and when he spoke, they were offended. The group was divided over and over. And it was not over what he did, it's what he said most of the time. What he said. The claims that he made. He spake as one having authority. He never said, look to God for life. He said, come to me. What kind of man is that who could forgive a man's sins? And his enemy said, only God can forgive sins. He said, now you know, if I may paraphrase. He said, I said it like that so you know that the Son of Man, this man, has power on earth to forgive sins. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I remember the first time I preached this where I am many years ago. And there was a lady sitting there. And when I got through reading, I looked up and tears just streaming down her face. You know why? Because she had a large family and most of them were offended at the gospel of Christ. Blessed are those who are not offended in me. Galatians chapter 5, stand fast. And we must stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that's circumcised that he's a debtor to the whole law of God. You're guilty in one point, you're guilty of it all. That's what the Bible says. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You're fallen from grace. And that literally means, the best I can understand, that when you look to the law, you look to works, you have totally removed yourself from the sphere of God's grace and moved into the field of works. For we through the Spirit Wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. But I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, that ye that trouble you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? If I preach circumcision, then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, you've been called to liberty. Liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. What a powerful statement. I want to talk to you tonight, a few minutes, about the offense of the cross. And I'll make this statement boldly right up front, that most of the people across our country who meet on Sundays or otherwise worship in the name of Jesus have never heard the truth about the Jesus of this book. This gospel they preach is not offensive to anybody, anywhere, because they don't tell the truth. You cannot preach the gospel unless you tell the truth about God, and they don't. You cannot preach the gospel unless you tell the truth about man, and they don't. Man and sin. Sin, not what we do. Sin, not quit smoking and quit drinking and all these things. Sin, what we are. And you can't change it any more than a leopard can change his spots. And you can't preach the gospel without declaring boldly the great things God hath done for sinners in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. They talk about God loves sinners. That's true, but that ain't the gospel. They say Jesus died for sinners. That's true, but that ain't the gospel. The gospel is how he loved sinners and died for sinners, lived for sinners and died for sinners, and resurrected according to the scriptures, according to this book. We got to go by this book. Isaiah said, if they speak not according to this book, because they're still in darkness, they have no light in them. Our church is praying that God would raise up somebody, somewhere in our generation, that had the ear of the people and tell folks the truth. You know, a sermon I preached recently, and I'm going to try to hurry, but I have so many things I'd like to say. Sermon I preached recently, what must we preach? The gospel. Why do we preach the gospel? First point I made is because that's the only message in the world that's always a sweet savor to God. And I thought about that. That means, do we preach to please God or do we preach to please man? Most preachers today tell men what they want to hear. They've cut down the gospel. They whittle down the Jesus of Scripture to make it palatable to human flesh, human nature. And it's another gospel. It's not the truth. Not the truth. God is called the God of peace. Christ is the Prince of Peace. The gospel is called the gospel of peace. Preachers declare the gospel of peace, and they're peaceful. They're not looking to cause offense. They're looking to tell men the best news that this world ever heard. And men and women as believers are men and women of peace. Men and women of peace. And all who know the Lord Jesus Christ, He is a personal embodiment of the truth, of grace, of peace. And all who know the Lord Jesus Christ, in some degree, reflect what He is. Reflect what He is as the God of grace and truth and peace. And yet, nothing has ever caused more disturbance in this world than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel of peace. Christ said, I didn't come to bring peace on earth, but a sword. This message, this gospel, this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, divides various families, husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, sisters, daughters, mothers, everything. It divides people. Not because there's anything wrong with the message, something wrong with the people. They don't receive it. They don't like it. They hate it by nature. And yet we have world famous evangelists that go all over the world and preach to the Muslims, preach to the Jews, preach to the communists, and nobody's upset. Because they forgot to tell folks the truth. And yes, I'm talking about Billy Graham. It's serious business. You don't preach to please folks, you preach to please God. And if you want to please God, tell the truth about His Son. Most important thing between you and God right now is what He sees in your mind and your heart concerning His Son. What do you think of His Son? That's it. That's everything. Everything. One of Satan's greatest, most effective efforts in destroying the souls of men and women has to be to whittle down God and exalt men. Whittle down Christ till He's a would-be Savior, not a real Savior. He can't save anybody unless you let Him. You invite Him. That's not what this book says from one end to another. From one end to the other, this book shows that He's a sovereign Savior. That He walks by a publican's table and said, follow me, and he followed Him. He's the sovereign Savior. They try to make the gospel pleasing to men. And when you do that, it's not pleasing to God. And when you do that, plainly and simply, you have removed yourself totally and entirely from the sphere of God's grace and got into the sphere of works and blasphemy and idolatry. Paul said in his letter to the Galatians, if you add circumcision or any other work to the gospel, you have fallen from grace. You've left the gospel. To attribute salvation in any way, I wrote this down, I know what I'm saying, and I say it standing before God. To attribute salvation in any way to any human work is to remove the offense of the cross and make it the gospel into another gospel, which is not another. It's a lie. It's a lie. Matthew 10, I didn't come to send peace on earth but a sword. And boy, that sword followed him all the days of his life until his hour was come and he let him take it. Every place the Apostle Paul went, an apostle preaching the gospel of peace. His own people followed him, stirred up trouble against him, tried to get him killed. Why, he was stoned and beaten and abused in every way. Because he preached the gospel of peace. If he'd have preached it like the folks preaching in our day, so many of them, they wouldn't have been upset. They'd been glad to see him coming. He could have preached on Mars Hill, made everybody happy. Preaching their message, the gospel, the modern message, modern gospel. Jesus Christ and His gospel of peace is offensive to all men by nature. And I say to you here tonight, how thankful you ought to be and how blessed you are that you're not offended by what you read and hear about Christ, but you love it. He that cometh to God must believe that he is. Not only that there is one God, who he says he is. That he is as he's depicted in this book, described in this book. That's the God we believe in, the one in this book. Blessed is that man or that woman who is not offended at Christ. Those who love him as he is, who he is, what he is, and love what he says and does, and his people do. They that are of God hear God's word. My sheep hear my voice. No doubt about that. No question about that. A lot of controversy today about it, but no question about it. It's a settled issue right here in this book. I want to give you a few reasons, briefly as I can, why the gospel is offensive to natural man. And it is offensive especially to the unregenerate religious man, like the Jews in the day of Christ among whom he lived. I pray that God will so work that none here this evening will be offended, but bow down to the Lord Jesus. That's what we seek in our preaching, to exalt him as he is, bring him in to bow down to him. First of all, this gospel of this book is offensive. Now, you listen to what I'm saying, you find out whether you really believe in grace or not. I mean free grace, pure grace, all grace. It is offensive because it takes the axe to the very root of all human wisdom. Do you believe that? I've talked to people and say, well, I laid hold of the claim. I laid claim of the promise and all these things. It always starts with what they did. This book starts with what he did. Read it. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18. For the preaching of the gospel of the cross is to them that are perishing foolishness. And that's the tense of the verb, that are perishing foolishness. But unto us which are being saved, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. For it is written. Listen, let me ask you this question, right in the beginning. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. Now that's what God said, isn't it? How many of them? All of them. All of them. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. It's God talking. Bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish all the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom can never know God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now read on. Look at this. Where is the scribe? Where is the wise man? Where are the disputers and debaters of this world? Bring them all together. And all their wisdom combined, they can never know God. The knowledge of God comes by divine, supernatural, spiritual revelation. Nothing less. Now the Jews, that's the religious folk, they want to see a sign. The Greeks seek after wisdom. But we just have one message. We preach Christ and Him crucified, under the Jews a stumbling block, under the Greeks foolishness, but under them which are called. Oh, that's the magic word. Them that are called. I don't care whether he's a Jew or whether he's a Greek, whether he's black, white, yellow, or green. Unto them that are called. Call of God. Both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Called of God. Called of God. Oh, we need to be called of God. We must be called of God. Look on down to verse 26. You see your calling, brethren. These he's writing to here in Corinth. You see your calling, brethren. Not many wise men after the flesh have ever been called of God to salvation. Isn't that what that says? Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. There's a woman, Queen of England one time, she said, I thank God for that letter M. I said, what do you mean? She said, God could have said, not any. But he said, not many. That's what Spurgeon preached. God, give us another Spurgeon. Raise up men in our day. Tell the truth and give them the attention of the people. I'd like to see that before I pass off. Spurgeon stood in that great tabernacle over there in London, England. I've been there. He stood there one morning. Oftentimes, I imagine, one morning he said, what do you have, 5,000, 8,000? Thing jam full. The members would give their tickets to people that wanted to come so they didn't have room for them to sit. He said, God could stop here and visit us this morning. I'm paraphrasing. And say, if everybody in this place, and he could pass us by and leave us all in our sins and our guilt, and he would still be holy and just and good. And that's the truth. Salvation by grace. Salvation by grace. The gospel is offensive to the natural man. When it's received, sometimes it divides the very closest of earthly ties. Jesus Christ and his gospel of peace is offensive to all men by nature. And blessed is that man to whom it's not offensive. Blessed is that man or woman who's not offended at the gospel, who loves him as he is. The psalmist said it like this, the man whom God chooses. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. That's the blessed man. You know why I chose God? Because he chose me. Now I want to briefly give you some of these reasons. The first is it destroys human wisdom. Human wisdom at its greatest, combined efforts, can never come to know God. Well, that hurts me. I can read what you can read. I can understand what you can understand. No, you can't. I have a doctor's degree from so-and-so. I don't care what you've got. Let me show you something in Matthew 11 again. You turn back there. I remember the first time I heard this emphasized, and it was emphasized by a man named Dr. N. Burnett Magruder. And I'm going to leave you to establish the context. You probably already know it. It's a familiar passage. But our Lord Jesus Christ, standing here in the flesh, said, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son is pleased to reveal him. Isn't that what that says? He to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Salvation not left up to us, it's left up to him. That's what it sounds like to me. He's the one who turns on the light. He's the one who gives a good new nature. He's the one who gives faith. What do we get? We have nothing but sin. Nothing but sin. First point is this. Let me pass on. This gospel is offensive to natural man. It most certainly is. The reason men are not offended is because they're not hearing the gospel. What they're hearing can be preached to anybody, any place, any time. Nobody be offended. Like I said, Billy Graham could go to Mars Hill and make everybody happy. Back in that generation. And it's offensive because of the way it deals with human wisdom. We are shut up to the sovereign revelation of God, the Spirit, in the Lord Jesus Christ. God never calls any, chooses any, because of any wisdom in them. And He never called very many who were wise after the flesh. This gospel is offensive to natural man because of the way in which it deals with human ability. Now, I'm not going to turn to all these places and read. I'm going to pass on. We have a baptism coming up. It offends men because it put the axe at the very root of all our wisdom. All our combined wisdom, we can't find out God. Never come to know God. And secondly, this thing of human ability. You want to read this, Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. The Bible says, when we were without strength. Boy, Wilbur Johnson was in our pulpit one time down in Madisonville. And, oh, he made it. He really, really worked this up good. Without strength. You know what that means? If I say I'm without money, you know what that means? I don't have any. As long as I've got one penny in my pocket, I'm not without. But if you're without strength, you don't have any. Spiritually, we're without strength. Spiritually, we're dead in trespasses and sins. We've got to have help from outside. We can't help ourselves. We owe a great debt and we have nothing to pay. We're without strength. And the modern religionists, give me something to do and I'll do it. Don't tell me I can't do, I can't save myself or get saved when I get ready. That's what I'm telling you. You know when Paul got saved? Same time you did. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by His grace. When it pleased God. When it pleased God. But that offends man's pride. And the third reason is because of the way it deals with human merit. We just let don't have any. We just flat don't have any. You read Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. It's enough to tell you we don't have any merit. None righteous, no, not one. None that understandeth, none that seeketh after God. Have no wisdom. We have no strength. And we have no merit. The gospel says to the man who seeks righteousness in religion, not by the works of righteousness which you have done. The gospel says to the man who seeks righteousness in morality, the publicans and the harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. I'm telling you the truth. Christ stood before the religious leaders in His day, looked them right square in the face, and made that statement. The publicans and the harlots enter the kingdom of God before you, ahead of you. I don't mind, they felt too good since they thought they're the most righteous folks in the world. But He told them the truth. He told them the truth. The most moral and virtuous in this world are as far from God and salvation as the vilest man on the face of this earth. They're no closer to God. That offends man's pride. The next point And boy, folks don't like this at all. But this gospel is offensive because it declares plainly and clearly from one end of this Bible to the other that God's grace is discriminating grace. That He saves whom He will, when He will, when it pleases Him. You mean I can't be saved when I want to? I don't know whether you'll be saved when you want to or not, but I know one thing, you'll be saved when He wants you to. And no doubt in my mind about that. No doubt at all. God declares, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. God declares, it's not of him that willeth nor of him that runneth, but on God that hath mercy. Hath mercy. Somebody says, I don't like that. One day you will. You'll learn to like it. Or you'll bow to it. I'll put it that way. You won't learn to like it. Men get angry and they say, that's not right. That's not just. God wouldn't do that. Christ loves all men alike. Christ died for all men equally, left up to man's free will. If that's what you believe, you don't know anything about the gospel. Martin Luther said, man attributes anything to free will. And anything in salvation of man's free will has not learned the gospel aright. He don't know it. Spurgeon said the same thing. But this offends man in his deepest, the deepest recesses of his natural being. When you tell him it's in the hands of God and only God can help him. But I'll tell you, this is proven throughout the Scriptures. The God of glory, the only God there is, the God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was yet in Ur of Chaldees. Who did he appear to? Not his family. Only Abraham. Did he appear to Abraham because he was wiser? Nope. Because he had more ability than they? No, none of them had any ability. Because he had some merit? No. He did it because he wanted to. And that suits me fine. That suits me fine. Boy, there's a bunch of Pharisees in the days of Christ, rulers of the Jews. And it seemed like God chose the meanest of the whole bunch to save. Going down the Damascus Road with letters of authority in his pocket to put these people, to apprehend them, put them in prison, have them beaten, have them killed. I wouldn't have wanted to meet him that day. And God turned on the light. And the hatred faded from his face. He fell in the dust before God. Who is it, Lord? He said, it's Jesus whom you persecute. Why do you kick against the pricks? What do you have me do, Lord? God told him, he did it. What a God. What a Savior. Spurgeon said, and this is encouraging. Spurgeon said, you may have children that get so far away, you can't find them, the law can't find them, you just trouble about them every day of your life. He said, but God knows where they are. He can put his finger on them any time he chooses. Pray for them. Pray for them. God is the Savior. One day all will bow to this truth and confess that it is the truth. But you might say, preacher, this being true, who then can be saved? That question has been raised before, and Christ said, nobody. Left up to men, nobody. Nobody! I had a foolish little man come around my house, soul winner. Gave me a pamphlet. Mister, you say, that's just flippantly irrespective. They don't know what they're doing. They've been trained puppets. Hey, mister, you saved? I said, well, I hope so. Been trying to preach the gospel for 40 years. He said, "Oh." And he turned to walk off. I'd give me one of those tracks. And on the back of that track, it had this statement, this statement. "Please," exclamation mark, "won't you let God save you this very moment?" I haven't found anything like that in this book. Nothing. In fact, our Lord says, "Strive, agonize to enter into the kingdom of God." Strive to enter in. "Preacher, who then can be saved?" Well, left up to man, nobody. Salvation's in the hands of men. Just clothe you, wrap this church in black, and go home and sit down and wait for hell to come. But thank God it's not left up to man. Salvation is to any and all who come to Christ on His terms. Those who bow to Him. Those who really trust Him. And put all our faith in who He is and what He did, rather than in themselves. It's that simple. But what are those terms? Well, the Bible says something concerning the Jews that they would not accept the counsel of God against themselves. Until you get to learn the truth about God, you'll never start learning the truth about yourself. The issue between you and that God. Turn away our thought from our own ability, our own strength, our own merit, and look to Christ alone with both eyes. Steadfastly look to the Lord Jesus Christ, wrapping both arms around Him, trusting in Him and Him alone. Being like that old leper, and I love this story. Back in the Old Testament, lepers were supposed to stay away from everybody. They were shut out of the city, lived in colonies outside. They were to stay away from people, and if anybody came near inadvertently, they would put their hand up to the mountain and cry, "Unclean, unclean." But here's a leper in Matthew chapter 8. Came running through the crowd. He didn't stay away. He came running through the crowd. Fell down at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing it says is that he worshiped. He worshiped. And then I can see him raising his face up a little to Christ and said, "Lord, if you will, you're the Lord, if you will, you can make me whole." Leaving it all with him. "You don't owe me anything. You don't even have to answer. But if you will, you can make me whole." He said, "I believe I will." And all who come to Christ like that will be made whole. But He's the Lord. He's the Lord of glory. He's Lord over all. The Lord of creation. The Lord of providence. And most certainly the Lord of salvation. It's in His hands. And if you can come to Him like the old leper, you'll be like the publican. You'll be like the man who went up to the temple, wouldn't even lift up his face to the Lord, smote his breast, said, "Have mercy. Have mercy. Be propitious to me, a sinner." He delights to save sinners. May God bless His Word to our hearts. And may God in these last days, and I certainly believe they are these last days, raise up some men and women who tell the truth. Like the faithful pastor here tells the truth. Told the truth this morning. I won't be here, but I bet you he'd tell the truth Wednesday night too, or Tuesday, next Sunday. Truth. Some men preach to please God. some men preach to please men. I hope God don't give you your choice.
Amen. Brother Lindsay, let's sing Sovereign Grace, I Will Proclaim It. I believe it's number 37 in the Songs of Grace book.